Hello, I'm Pastor Daniel Flukey from St. Peter Lutheran Church in Greene, Iowa, and today is Sunday, September 19th, the 17th Sunday after Pentecost. The first lesson today is from James chapters 3 and 4. Who is wise and understanding among you? Show by your good life that your works are done with gentleness, born of wisdom. But if you have bitter envy and selfish ambition in your hearts, do not be boastful and false to the truth. Such wisdom does not come down from above, but is earthly, unspiritual, devilish. For where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder and wickedness of every kind. But the wisdom from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. And a harvest of righteousness is sown in peace for those who make peace. Those conflicts and disputes among you, where do they come from? Do they not come from your cravings that are at war within you? You want something and do not have it, so you commit murder. And you covet something and cannot obtain it, so you engage in disputes and conflicts. You do not have because you do not ask. You ask and you do not receive because you ask wrongly, in order to spend what you get on your pleasures. Submit yourselves, therefore, to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Here ends the first reading. Today's gospel is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 9. They went on from there and passed through Galilee. He did not want anyone to know it, for he was teaching his disciples, saying to them, "The Son of Man is to be betrayed into human hands, and they will kill him. And 3 days after being killed, he will rise again." But they did not understand what he was saying and were afraid to ask him. Then they came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But the disciples were silent because on the way they had argued with one another over who was the greatest. Jesus sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all, and a servant of all." Then he took a little child and put it among them, and taking it in his arms, he said to them, "Whoever welcomes one such child in my name welcomes me, and whoever welcomes me welcomes not me, but the one who sent me." This is the gospel of our Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Grace to you and peace from God our Creator and the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Some pastors are really gifted at using current, relevant pop culture illustrations in sermons. As you might have figured out by now, I am not one of them. Every so often I've tried, I used a line from Star Wars Rogue One as the theme for a sermon once, and only like one person in worship had seen the movie opening weekend like I did, so that didn't work. Or I used an idea a couple years ago from the preview trailer of the movie Free Guy, and it was an idea, an illustration, a sermon. And it was a good illustration, but I finally saw the movie once it finally came out. It was delayed because of the pandemic. Saw it a couple weeks ago, and my illustration is not actually what the movie turned out to be about. So I'm not sure I count that as a success either. But I'm trying again today. Here's your relevant pop culture illustration. Have you ever heard of the show The Activist? Probably not. I just heard about it this week. It was in the news. It was supposed to be a reality show premiering on CBS this fall, sort of a similar concept to how the show The Apprentice used to be, with three celebrity judges. Let me read you part of an NPR article about it. It said, six contestants would compete in a variety of activism-themed contests before appearing at a summit of world leaders in Italy, a format that press materials called awe-inspiring, groundbreaking, and sure to inspire real change. But in the week since the network's announcement, backlash has come from all corners, including an apology from one of the program's own hosts. Now the show's producers have announced they will dramatically reformat the show, dropping the competitive elements to become a one-time documentary special rather than a five-episode series. Quote, "It has become apparent that the format of the show as announced distracts from the vital work these incredible activists do in their communities every day," said CBS and its co-producers. Global activism centers on collaboration and cooperation, not competition. We apologize to the activists, hosts, and the larger activist community. We got it wrong. Now, since the pandemic started, I'm much closer to being a televangelist than I'd like, sitting here talking to you. But I will never be in a position to produce or approve reality TV show concepts. But taking nonprofit activists, having them do publicity stunts as a competition for a pile of money, and calling it entertainment is a terrible idea, right? The point of being an activist is to support a cause in order to help with some issue. I don't know what exactly the people who are supposed to be on the show were working on, but apparently what they all worked in the areas of education, environment, health, those are all good causes. I don't know if the people involved are Christians, but we as Christians should care about all those things. Taking care of the creation God's given to us, helping the sick, teaching, those are all areas where faith has an impact. The causes are good, but the producers of the show missed a key point. Serving is not a competition. Of course, they are hardly the only ones to make such a mistake. They're in good company if you listen to today's reading. Jesus and his disciples came to Capernaum, and when he was in the house, he asked them, "What were you arguing about on the way?" But they were silent, for on the way they had argued with one another over who was the greatest. Jesus sat down, called the 12, and said to them, "Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all." Being a servant of all does not make for entertaining reality television, but an attitude of humble service is much more likely to make real, lasting change, to make a difference in the world. God's kingdom is built on God's people humbly serving, putting others first, loving our neighbors, not on big, splashy, well-funded campaigns and publicity stunts. And then as an example for the disciples, Jesus takes a little child in his arms. And I hear that and I think, aw, how cute. Everyone likes little kids, right? But that's not exactly what Jesus was going for. In that culture, in his day, children were loved, of course, but they're considered kind of useless. They have the least social status of anyone. They rank even below slaves. In fact, there's sort of a pun happening in the Greek language there, where the word paideon means both little child and slave. So to serve a child, well, that takes some humility. Serving a child is the kind of work that everybody does, just as a part of life. There's nothing special or glamorous about it. It's not the kind of project you'd work on if you're trying to be the greatest. But that's who Jesus says to welcome. That's who Jesus says to pay attention to, the least in society, the ones who can't offer anything in return. It's the kind of work even you and I can do. It's the same principle Jesus will demonstrate a little later at the Last Supper when he takes the position of a slave and he washes his disciples' feet. He tells them, "If I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have set you an example that you should also do as I have done for you." In another place, Paul tells us that as followers of Jesus, we should let the same mind be in us that was in Christ Jesus, who emptied himself, taking the form of a slave, being born in human likeness. And being found in human form, he humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Jesus' standards for greatness are dramatically different from the world's. The great people in this world thrive on attention, publicity, ambition. To be great in the world's eyes, you need to have, what, the most followers, the most fans or likes or subscribers, depending what platform you're using? The goal is power. Maybe political power, maybe the power to sell lots of some item or service in exchange for money. Maybe just the power to attract attention and influence people. That's very different than the kind of service we are called to as followers of Jesus. A reading from James illustrates this too. He says, "Where there is envy and selfish ambition, there will also be disorder and wickedness of every kind. But the wisdom from above, God's wisdom, the way God calls us to live, is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without a trace of partiality or hypocrisy. Again, terrible criteria for a reality TV character, but much more fulfilling as a way to live. No one's going to make a show about the day-to-day life of being a Christian and following Jesus. It's not entertaining to watch someone live an honest life, caring for their neighbors. Most of the time, faithful living is not dramatic. It's reaching out to people who are lonely, making donations to feed the hungry, welcome immigrants and refugees, clean up after disasters. It involves working to protect the environment, support education, provide healthcare, all of that, but doing it because Jesus tells us to, not for publicity or fame or wealth, not for a prize, but to serve God. It's greeting people here at church as they come for food this weekend, treating everybody we meet every day as a child of God, rather than an anonymous number or a nuisance even. Siblings in Christ, our mission is always to share the hope we have been given in Christ, to reflect the love God has given us. Humble service, loving our neighbors. Our call is to point people to Jesus, not to ourselves. May God give you the strength and humility to do so. Whoever wants to be first must be last of all and servant of all. Amen. Before you go, I want to say thank you to everybody who contributed to our special offering last week for the Lutheran Immigration and Refugee Service to help resettle Afghanistan refugees. Between the money given in the offering and the Sunday School's offering and a donation from the High Schoolers and Luther League, we raised over $600, and it's not too late if you would like to give and contribute to that. Just mark your offering for refugees and mail it in or bring it into the church office. And of course, your support for the regular ministry of our church, the day-to-day stuff, the not glamorous stuff, is also greatly appreciated. You can give online at stpetergreen.com/giving. Now, receive the benediction. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord's face shine on you with grace and mercy. May the Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace. Go in peace to love and serve the Lord. Thanks be to God. Amen.